and there is no knowing when, in the year 1886, disturbances began in the constellation Andromeda. In the observatory, 9-402, it is said that, upon September 26, a new star in the Andromeda Nebula had been reported by one astronomer, but that, according to another astronomer, there was no such new star. Astronomical Register, 1886-269 that, upon October 3, a new star in this nebula had been photographed. I think of our existence as a battery, an enormous battery, or, in the cosmic sense, a little battery. So I think of volcanic regions, or incipiently volcanic regions, in a land of the stars and in a land of this earth, as electrodes, which are mutually perturbative, and between which flow quantities of water and other volcanic discharges, in electrolytic, or electrically teleportative, currents. According to data, I think that some teleportations are instantaneous, and that some are slow drifts. To illustrate what I mean by stimulation, most likely electric, by interacting volcanoes and transportation or electric teleportation, of matter, between mutually effective volcanoes, I shall report a conversation, which, unlike mere human dialogue, was seen, as well as heard. Upon the evening of September 3, 1902, at Martinique, where the volcano Mont Pelee humps high, Professor Angelo Heilprin, as he tells in his book, Mont Pelee, saw southward, at sea, electric flashes. They were in the direction of La Soufriere, the volcano upon the island of St. Vincent, 90 miles away. La Soufriere was flashing. Then Pelee answered. Pelee hugely answered, in tones befitting greater magnitude. A dozen flickers in the southern sky, and then Pelee speaking up, with a blinding, electric opinion. The little female volcano, or anyway the volcano with a feminine name, nagged and nagged, and was then answered with a roar. This bickering kept up a long time. About 5 o'clock, morning of the 4th, there was another appearance, upon the southern horizon. It was a dense bulk of smoke from La Soufriere. It drifted slowly. It went directly to Pelee, and massed about Pelee. There's no use arguing with a little, female volcano, she casts out obscurations. But there may be enormous use for this occurrence regarded as data. 27. Once upon a time, one of this Earth's earlier scientists pronounced, or enunciated, or he told a story, which was somewhat reasonable, of a flood, and of all the animals of this Earth saved, as species, in a big boat. Perhaps the story was not meant seriously by its author, but was a satire upon the ambitious boat builders of his day. It is probable that all religions are founded upon ancient jokes and hoaxes. But, considering the relative fewness of the animals that were known to the scientists, or the satirists, of that early time, this story was as plausible as the science, or as the best satire, of any time. However, data of such a host of animals piled up that the story of the big boat lost its plausibility. Note that our data are upon events of which the founders of the present so-called science of astronomy knew little, or knew nothing. Orthodox astronomy has been systematized, without considering new stars, their phenomena, and indications. It is a big boat story. Once upon a time it was plausible. It is in the position of the orthodox geology of former times, when a doctrine was formulated without consideration for fossils and sedimentary rocks. But, when fossils and sedimentary rocks were incorporated, they forced a radical readjustment. New stars were not taken into the so-called science of astronomy, by the builders of that system, because no astronomer ever saw, or reported, a new star, between the years 1670 and 1848. Presumably new stars have not started appearing all at once in modern times. Presumably, in this period of 178 years, many new stars appeared, and were not seen, though we shall have data for thinking that some of them shone night after night with the brilliance of first magnitude. One would like to know what, when time after time, the sky was probably spectacular with a new light, the astronomers were doing, in these 178 years. We may be able to answer that question, if we can find out what the astronomers are doing now. There is not agreement among the wise men. Virtually there is, by the wise men of our tribes, no explanation of new stars. The collision theory is heard of most. Always provided there have been little boys and other amateurs to inform them, the wise ones tell of stars that have collided. They have never told of stars that are going to collide. Why is a story always of stars that have collided? Assuming now that, instead of being points in a revolving shell, stars are swiftly moving bodies, there must be instances of stars that are going to collide, some days, weeks, or years from any given time. It is too much to assume that only dark stars collide, or the preponderance of dark stars would be so great that the sky would be black with inky ways. So far, we have not a fair impression of how frequently new stars appear. It will be said that stars that are so close to each other that, in a year or so, they will collide, have, because of their enormous distance from this Earth, the appearance of one point of light. This takes us to one of the solemnest and laughablest of the wise men's extravagances. It is their statement that, after two stars have collided, they can, by means of the spectroscope, pick out in what is to the telescope only one point of light, the fragments of an alleged collision, the velocities and the directions of these parts. If any spectroscopist can do this thing that the reading public is told that he can do, never mind about parts where he says there has been a collision, but let him pick out a point in the sky, which is of parts that are going to collide. Let him tell where a new star is going to be, otherwise let him go on being told, by amateurs, where a new star is. New stars appear. There are disturbances upon this earth, there are volcanic appearances in the sky, volumes of smoke and dust roll down upon this earth. And the meaning of it all may someday be skyward ho. Storms, upon a constellation's vacant areas, of Poles and Russians. A black cloud appears in the sky of Lyra, and down pours a deluge of Italians. Drifting sands of Scandinavians sift down to a star. January 5th, 1892, just such a fiery blast as has often torn down the slopes of Vesuvius, shot across the state of Georgia. It was a black tornado, filled with fire, Chicago Tribune, January 7th. About this time, there were shocks in Italy, and, in the evening, people in many parts of New York State were looking up and wondering at a glare in the sky. The next day they had something else to wonder about. There were shocks in New York State. Upon the 8th, dust that was perhaps volcanic, but that had probably been discharged from no volcano of this earth, fell from the sky, in northern Indiana. 14th tidal wave in the Atlantic, and a shock, at Memphis, Tennessee. Snow fell in Mobile, Alabama, where there had been only 4 falls of snow in 70 years. Floods in New England. Quakes in Japan, 15th, 16th, 17th. At this time began an eruption of Tongariro, New Zealand. Tidal wave, or seismic wave, in Lake Michigan, upon the 18th. For references, see the New York newspapers. The Philadelphia Public Ledger, January 27th, reported a fall, from the sky, of a mass of fire into a town in Massachusetts, upon the 20th. At this time, Rome, Italy, was quaking. Shocks in France, 2 days later. Shocks in Italy and Sicily. January 24th, a great meteor, with thunderous detonations, shot over Cape Colony, South Africa, Cape Argus, February 2nd and 4. A drought, at Durango, Mexico, was broken by rain, the first to fall in 4 years. Upon the night of the 26th, there was a glare in the sky that alarmed people throughout Germany. Severest shock ever known in Tasmania, upon the 27th, and shocks in many places in Victoria, Australia. In the night sky of England, people watched a luminous cloud, Nature, 45 to 365, 46 to 127. There was a new star. In all the observatories of this earth, not a professional astronomer had observed anything out of the ordinary, but, in Edinburgh, a man who knew nothing of astronomical technicalities, Nature, 45 to 365, looked up at the sky, and saw the new star, night of February 1st. Throughout this period of the glares and the shocks and the seeming volcanic discharges, a new star, or a new celestial volcano, had been shining in the constellation Auriga. The amateur, Dr. Anderson, told the professionals. They examined photographs, and learned that they had been photographing the new star since December 1st. The look of data is that volcanic dust drifted from a new star to the sky of this Earth, in Indiana, in not more than 39 days. For 4 hours, upon the 8th of January, dust came down from the sky, in northern Indiana, and if it did come from regions external to this Earth, it came settling down, hour after hour, as if to a point upon a stationary Earth. I have searched in many scientific periodicals, and in newspapers of all continents, finding record of no volcanic eruption upon this Earth, by which to explain. La Nature, 41-206 that this dust had been analyzed, and had been identified as of volcanic origin. Science, 21-303 that this dust had been analyzed, and had been identified as not of volcanic origin. Monthly Weather Review, January, 1892 it was in all probability of volcanic origin. I have records of 5 other new stars, which, from December 21, 1896, to August 10, 1899, appeared at times of disturbances upon this Earth, times of deluges and of volcanic discharges that cannot be attributed to terrestrial volcanoes. 2 of the discoveries were made by amateurs. The other discoveries were made by professionals, who, with nothing at all resembling seal writing, learned, by examining photographic plates, that new stars that had been looked at by astronomers had been recorded by cameras. The period of one of these encelerities was 11 years. See Nature, 85 to 248.